The afternoon of April 14th, 2021. I'm getting my second shot tomorrow. I can't wait. That's just the personal news. Let's get to the real news here on Preps Today with John Millay. John Millay is the star, of course, from the MSHSL.org organization. You can find his writings at John's Journal at that website, and you can always hear him weekly here at TalkNorth.com. Find all the shows at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows that are released. Check out my new show, Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan, and my interviews with Derek Falvey and Nafisa Collier, again at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen, though, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's just an easy way to listen. All right, John, let's start off now with, sadly, turmoil in our town again.
Yeah, Jim, we all know what's happened this week in Brooklyn Center. And I don't know if a lot of people know that the High School League office, our headquarters, is in Brooklyn Center, just down the street from where all this is going on. It's just heartbreaking to see. I know that neighborhood real well. I'm not there 5 days a week, but I'm there enough. And I've explained to some people that, you know, you can take a walk from the High School League office, walk past the Minnesota FBI headquarters, and then at the next corner, you'll come to Brooklyn Center High School, which I've been inside many times. I've been at their football soccer field many times for games. You take a left, there's the Brooklyn Center Police Department. This is all happening blocks from where we all work, and it's devastating. You know, Dante Wright killed by the police, and the officer has been arrested and charged. But I was thinking about just the first night of there was some looting and rioting, and that was in an area where I go every time I'm in the office. If I'm going to go grab some lunch or get a tank of gas, that's where I go, right in that area. If anybody watched the last couple of nights, there was a Dollar Tree store that was looted, and I think there might have been a fire in there last night. And in that strip mall, there's a place called Scoreboard Pizza, a nice little family pizza place that I've been there with others from our office. And, you know, I work and I know I work with and I know people who live in that neighborhood, and they are really hurting. And it's just sad, Jim. I'm not shedding any new light on anything here, but I'm a white privileged male. I don't have any answers to this, but boy, with the trial going on in downtown Minneapolis and everything that's happened in Brooklyn Center, and you go all the way back to Philando Castile and everything we've been through here in this state, it's really heartbreaking. Let's hope progress can somehow be made. Like I said, I have no answers, but it's just it's such a sad thing to see for everybody.
It is, and I realize that your offices are right there where it's all happening. We've done some shows from your offices, so yeah. I just hope everybody's, you know, we're not going to get too deep into this stuff. Right. I appreciate your thoughts, and I just hope everybody is as safe as possible.
Yeah, I think things are headed in the right direction. Nobody went to work in our office Monday or Tuesday, and everything was fine there, and there was no problems in that part of town, but certainly a lot of things going on. So yeah, that's not why we do this show, but I just wanted to mention that to get us going here.
No, I appreciate it. And we will get on to sports now. And once again, thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton. And if you'd like to advertise with this show or any of the other shows on the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, the former Twins executive at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. All right, let's get to it. Winter tournaments are complete.
Yeah, I've got a lot of notes here, you know, and I think these are all positive. This was quite the experience of having a winter sports season, you know, which started 6 weeks later than normal. The governor, you know, held everything off for a while. So we didn't start practice till, I think, January 4th, and 10 days later we started games. And at that point, to be honest, Jim, you know, if somebody had asked me then, are we going to have winter state tournaments? Will we see them through, which we didn't last year? I would have guessed it was 50-50. And by God, we did. We had them all and different formats, you know, some different venues. But we finished them with the basketball tournaments, boys and girls, basically the same time frame last week. Spring sports are underway now. You know, we're talking here later on Wednesday afternoon, and it's cold and it's been rainy, but everybody's rolling with spring sports. And on the last day of the basketball tournaments, I was sitting there at Target Center watching the boys, the four state championship games, and just trying to write. I try to put things in perspective sometimes. And if you go to John's journal at mshsl.org, you can read about 1,300 words on how I tried to sum up the last 13 months. And it's just about, it's almost unimaginable what we've all been through, you know, take high school sports out of that and what everybody's been through. I just found out today, someone I didn't know well, but I competed against as a high school athlete in Iowa. I don't know this guy very well. I certainly know the name. We're the same age. He still lives in Iowa. It's a 41-year-old daughter who died of COVID last week. And it's just stunning to me that these things are still going on. And but we did get through the tournaments. I would have guessed we would have had some basketball teams unable to compete at state. Thankfully, everybody played. Everybody, you know, went as far as they could. And this thing I wrote on John's Journal, a lot of it, I mentioned all the people that had to work so hard to make this happen. It's people at the high school league, sure, but it's people all over the state, at every school, all these administrators. And, you know, even when things are normal, high school seasons and tournaments, they're not easy to manage, and much less during a pandemic. But we got through it, you know, and there's no way to thank everybody. I attempted to do that in that piece I wrote, but we did get through it. It's a great feeling. I came home Saturday night just feeling really grateful. And I'll shift gears here and kind of go through some other notes from the tournaments. Anybody who watched the tournaments on TV, you may have noticed if you looked at the officials, everybody had a patch on their left sleeve. It said JR3, and that's for Jimmy Robinson III, who had passed away recently. He was our supervisor of basketball officials forever, a former Big Ten official. So there was a tribute to Jimmy on the scoreboard with a nice little PA script before the two Class 4A championship games. And I remarked to people, and people said to me how strange it was to be at the state basketball tournament and not see Jimmy there sitting at the same spot on the scorer's table every year, overseeing officials and just chatting with him. So that was good to see that a really good tribute for Jimmy. I'll run down the basketball state champions here. In the boys from 1A to 4A, Hayfield, Waseca, Minnehaha, Academy, and Wayzata. In girls, Mineota, Albany, Becker, and Chaska. And I was watching the Waseca boys play in the championship game, and I remembered being there in Waseca for their last football game of the season. It was ostensibly the section championship, and that was as far as football went. There was no state tournament. And I talked to a couple of players from Waseca afterwards. And a year ago, their boys basketball team qualified for state, but of course, we had no tournament. So Ryan Dufault, he ended up hitting the winning shot in the state championship game for Waseca. I think the first time they've won a boys basketball title since 1918 or something like that. And I went back to the story in October after the last football game, and I found this quote from Ryan. I'm just hoping we get to play some games. He was talking about basketball and play together one last time. And hopefully, if it's possible, to play in a state tournament. And like I said, this was in October. We didn't know if we'd have a winter season. We didn't know if we were going to have a state tournament, but it's just good to see those kids who are now seniors and all the other schools, you know, get this opportunity to finish the season, whether it's basketball or hockey or skiing or whatever it was. You know, we had our full slate of winter tournaments. One of the stories I really enjoyed doing during the basketball tournaments was about the Pack boys. Chris Pack is the head boys coach at Hayfield, and I see he and his three brothers and his dad Bryce. I know Bryce more than the rest of them. He's now a retired official and administrator. He was at Red Rock Central, still lives in Lamberton. So I'd see these five guys, four or five of them every year, sitting in the front row at the boys' state basketball tournament. They'd usually sit right, just by happenstance, right behind where I would be sitting courtside. And I'd always chat with Bryce and his kids. And so I kind of talked to Bryce. I talked to Chris about, you know, this doesn't happen. All the boys, three of the four boys coach high school basketball in Minnesota. And the pullout quote from the story was from Chris, whose team did go to state, did win a state championship. And he told me, no offense to my dad and my brothers, but I'd rather be there with my team. So he was on the bench, and it was a neat thing to see that family celebrate. And we've talked about Chad Greenway here. He's been on our show before, Jim. And we talked in the past about his daughter, Madden, who's the seventh grade point guard and leading scorer at Providence Academy, which was the state runner-up team in Class 2A. There was kind of a neat behind-the-scenes moment as the Providence Academy kids were warming up for their game. The 1A girls game had just finished, and Mineota, as I said, was the winner there. And I kind of walked out the behind one of the baskets to go backstage there, and the Mineota team was out there kind of hanging around, and I could hear them kind of, a couple of them kind of saying, "Hey, I saw Chad Greenaway in the stands." And he was sitting there in the front row. I mean, the front row was about 10 rows up. You know, they weren't letting people sit all the way down, but I overheard this, and they were kind of excited, and I said, "Hey, let's go out there and see Chad." So about six of these girls followed me out, kind of walking out the tunnel towards the court. I got out far enough, and I caught Chad's attention and waved, and he waved at me. And then I pointed to this pack of Mineota girls basketball players. They all had their phones aimed at Chad. They were shooting video, and he gave them a big wave and a smile, and they were thrilled with that. And I texted him later. I said, "You have no idea how cool that was for you. That meant the world to those kids." And as we all know, Chad Greenway is a good guy, and it's going to be fun to see his daughter Madden and that Providence Academy team in the future. That was really, really a good team to watch. One of the most interesting things, I think, from the girls' tournament was, you know, Chaska defeated Hopkins in the 4A girls' semifinals, and Hopkins was on a roll. Everybody assumed they were going to set a new state record for consecutive wins. They got to 78, and that's where it ended. They lost to Chaska. That stopped them at 78, which was and remains the state record, but now two teams hold it. The Hopkins girls, of course. And then the Fauston girls, their 78-game streak ended in 2002, and one of the stars of those teams was our friend Kelly Royston, now an assistant coach to Lindsey Whalen with the Gophers. So I got Kelly on the phone. I talked to Rochelle Malin, who was the coach of those Fauston teams. She still lives up there and is an elementary teacher. It was really neat to hear them talk about this experience of watching Hopkins. They all knew Hopkins was getting close to their record. And these Fauston kids, you know, they're all 30. Some of them are getting close to 40 years old. They're moms and wives, and they've got kids. So they're all at home wherever they happen to be. I think Kelly Roysland was in Dallas that night. She came home the next morning, but they were watching the game either on TV or online, and they had a group chat going on their phones talking about it. And then afterwards, a bunch of the players got together on a Zoom, and this is like the 1972 Miami Dolphins, Jim, which, you know, old sports guys know, the last NFL team to go undefeated all the way through a year. So they feel pretty good that their record was tied. They you know, if it had been broken, that would have been fine with them too. And the neatest part about that was Rochelle was telling me the players and coaches, they were going to send, they didn't know what kind of gifts, but they were going to send a gift to the Chaska kids and a gift to the Hopkins team. They were gonna pay their respect to both of those teams, which is a pretty classy move. So, and one more, speaking of Gophers basketball coaches, I think we had speculated on here about the new men's coach, Ben Johnson, hiring Dave Thorson, which he did last week. And, you know, everybody who's followed high school basketball in Minnesota, we know Dave from his days at De La Salle. He was Ben Johnson's high school coach at De La Salle. And you know, Dave is the state's career leader in boys basketball with nine state championships. Mm. In 15 trips. So that's I have a feeling Dave will be in charge of the defense. Anybody who's watched him coach, and you know, he left De La Salle to become an assistant at Drake under Nico Medved, another Minnesota guy, and then that most of that coaching staff went to Colorado State a couple years ago. And I had texted Dave when Ben was hired, and he didn't confirm or deny anything to me, but I think we all assumed that would happen. So it's good to have Dave Thorson back in Minnesota.
Yeah, and he'll be a great recruiter as well as as well as Ben Johnson. That'll be quite a 1-2 punch for going after. Because the thing they're going to do, I think they're going to go find the 7th graders and 8th graders before Duke gets to town. Start talking to them then, you know.
Absolutely.
And they're not going to get 100% of them.
Right.
They need to get more McKinley Wrights, even if they don't get every Tyus Jones, you know.
Right, Right. And I think, you know, the model there is probably Lindsay Whalen. She's, you know, from the get-go, she made those connections with those young kids. Some of them are playing for her now. Some have already committed, you know, who are still in high school. And yeah, that's what you got to get. I had some discussions with people at the state tournaments about recruiting Minnesota kids at the U. And it was like, you know, if, I don't think they're going to get Chet Holmgren. We don't know. He hasn't said, the big 7-foot star from Minnehaha who can go anywhere he wants. But if you can get, you know, you look at the Tyus and Trey Jones and the Chet Holmgrens and, you know, just these superstar kids, the Hurt kid from Rochester who now is leaving Duke for the NBA draft. And you don't have to get all of those. You don't have to get half of those, but get, you know, out of every 5 of those, get 1 or 2, you know, I think people would be happy with that. It's just not getting hardly any of them. And I think Ben Johnson and Dave Thorson and the rest of the staff, I think the odds of that happening have gone up here.
By the way, on the Cheryl Reeves show on this network, Cheryl is predicting big things for Whalen's next team. She feels like she's finally got enough of her own good players in and ready to go. She's really looking for a big, big turnaround season. Yeah. By the way, I'm overdoing thanking our sponsor, Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com.
Yeah, and we've talked about before, the food truck, the Pizza Barn food truck is up, it's running, it's moving all over Princeton and the area. I know they were serving lunch at a spot in town today and somewhere else, I think, later today and something tomorrow. They're really rolling. Jody, stay in her place, and we're proud to have the Talk North Network logo and the Preps Today with John Millay logo on that truck, and it is a big, good-looking truck. It's people are going to be familiar with it in Princeton and the area, so look for it. Jody does a good job on the Pizza Barn Facebook page of telling people where it's going to be, a lot of photos and videos. And a reminder that the April pizza of the month at the Pizza Barn is chicken parmesan. And as always, there are outstanding daily specials at the Pizza Barn available for dine-in, delivery, takeout. They do it all. We're tickled to have them be part of our show.
And we'll be going up there to eat soon. I'm about to get completely vaccinated. As soon as I'm safe, I'm going to go have a meal there. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I had my second one a week ago. So another week, I will ostensibly be ready to rock and roll, and we'll get up there.
Yep, I got a birthday coming up, my 39th birthday again, and I'm looking forward to going and having some pizza on it. All right, let's get the band of the week.
Yeah, actually, we don't have a band of the week, but it's a twist on this one because we basically haven't had any bands all year play live at games. And boy, it was weird, Jim, going into the XL Center for hockey and the Target Center for basketball. No bands. You know, both facilities did a great job playing music, but no bands. And so I had a story idea that I'd kind of batted around in my head most of the winter. What's this like for the band directors and the band kids not being at games? And I called, I don't know, half a dozen or more band directors around the state. Some of them I know well, some I don't know very well, but I really learned a lot. And as one of them told me, it's just weirder than weird. This was a band director who, they're busy in the winter. If they've got hockey teams and basketball teams, they may be playing multiple evenings. And he goes home after school. He's home by 4 o'clock. He says he didn't know what to do with himself. Usually it's, you know, you're at school afterwards, you'll grab some dinner, you'll go get the kids on the bus or just meet everybody at the arena or the gym and let's play, get home at 9 or 10 o'clock. And it's just so weird. And these band kids, like everybody else, you know, it's been a lot of virtual school. I think most schools are back in person to some extent now. But I had never thought about this. Some of these band directors said it's going to take a while here, maybe a couple of years, to get the sounds of these bands back to what people are used to, because kids haven't rehearsed together. They haven't had full groups together, you know, unless maybe they're outside and it's kind of nasty weather right now for that. I know some bands are going to be at track meets this spring. I bet we'll see bands at baseball and softball games just to get out and play. And the other part of this is those little kids, you know, you 4th, 5th, 6th graders who go to games with mom and dad or to watch their brothers and sisters, they are not hearing the bands play. And these band directors are worried about recruiting band kids because, you know, that's what gets those kids excited. They see the band, they hear the band, they see how much fun that is. And these band directors are kind of worried about their numbers. So I actually learned quite a bit talking about bands. So the band of the week is every dang band in Minnesota. We can't wait to get everybody back performing and listening to all those great bands.
Well, my personal rock and roll cover band, the Bar Chords, I can give some advice. And piece of advice number one, if you hit a wrong note, repeat it. It'll sound like you did it on purpose. And if you hit two wrong notes, then just call it jazz.
There you go. I like it. Go Bar Chords.
Let's we're gonna go to most valuable teammate here. We do want to thank Rudy Luther Toyota, which is sponsoring shows across the network, including the Cheryl Reif Show.
Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
All right, let's do most valuable teammate.
Yeah, congratulations to this week's MSHSL most valuable teammate, Austin Kramer, a young man from Nicollet High School. He's a sophomore. Austin's a busy guy, plays football, plays basketball, plays baseball. He's on the Clay Target team and a very selfless young man, always helping everybody out, picking up gear, doing the right thing. So congrats to Austin from Nicollet.
All right. And how about thank a ref?
Yeah, we're going to thank three refs here, Jim. I didn't realize this had never happened before, but for the Class 4A boys basketball championship game between Wayzata and Creighton-Durham Hall, the officiating crew was all African-American. I would have guessed that had happened, but it had not, I learned Saturday night. So the three officials we want to thank here, Apple Valley's Craig Laird, Ricky Spencer from Brooklyn Park, and Lamar Sullivan of Minneapolis. And I had quite the seat for these basketball games. I was basically, usually we just have the scorers table and the fans are right behind there. With the layout here, no fans down by the court. They added a second row of seats behind and above the scorers table. And I can't tell you how impressed I was to see these officials working with the scorers table crew, you know, calling timeouts, checking on fouls, checking on everything. And the communications, man, this was really impressive. It was really cool to see. These are just the greatest officials. I mean, and the best of the best, clearly, are going to work the state tournament and the state championship games. But shout out to all the referees and officials for all the winter sports and going back to the fall. You know, the numbers were down in some regards with COVID scares and all that, but everybody did a good job. Every official wore a mask in every sport and did the job. So thanks to all the officials.
Yes. One more segment here. Keep your ears open Thursday. We do want to remind you, we have Cheryl Reif, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, Roy Smalley, adding a new special, not a guest, a new special member of the organization here this week. You'll see his name soon. We have some big developments coming for TalkNorth.com. We have John Millay on preps, as you know by now. And John Krasinski on basketball, and then John Krasinski and I both do of the Viking Update Show. Jeff Diamond on the Vikings as well. So check out the network. We have tons of outdoor content. We appreciate you listening. All right, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open Thursday.
Yeah, or your eyes too. But this will mostly, yeah, this will be. You'll need your eyes for Twitter updates. But the High School League Board of Directors is meeting Thursday morning, and this could be interesting, Jim. There's a lot of things on the agenda. I will be tweeting that out. Everybody wants to know about spring state tournaments because dates and sites haven't been finalized. That will happen tomorrow. What I think most people are interested in, every 2 years, the High School League redoes the section classifications. You know, everybody's in a class and a section and all their activities. So the next 2 year cycle will be announced. Well, the board actually will approve it. And then they'll be put on our website, I think, sometime Friday. Everybody's always curious about, you know, are they changing classes? Are they in the same section? Who's in their section for the next 2 years? So along with those are some big things, spring state tournaments and section classification. So there could be some other fireworks along the way. These board meetings are always interesting because you just don't quite know what might pop up. But I'll be tweeting live from the meeting and we will see what happens.
John Millay doubles as a bouncer at MSHSL org meetings.
That's right. Capture the video. I'll throw you right out.
Capture the video, put it on talknorth.com. Good stuff from John. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Brandon. Thanks to our sponsors, Pizza Barn in Princeton and Rudy Luther Toyota. And we'll be back next week to tell you in part what happened in that board meeting.